Well, good morning. It's good to be in the Lord's house today. Amen. Amen. Well, I tell you what, I am very excited to be here this morning. It is an honor and it's a privilege to stand before you and share with you what the Lord has laid on my heart. I would not have this opportunity if it wasn't for the Lord Himself. So I give all glory and honor and praise to the Lord today. I want to encourage you today. I've been thinking a lot about my life and how the Lord has blessed me. And I couldn't help but to think of all those people who have poured into me, who have encouraged me, who told me, Brian, just keep on keeping on for Jesus. And so I want to share with you, if I may, just a little bit about myself and for some of those that may not know. And then we'll kind of jump right into the message. But we had the opportunity years ago at the age of 18 to be invited to a little church down by Easyville. Some young men that I was associated with at the time, they began to kind of pour into me and said, Brian, hey, why don't you come over to our house on Sunday afternoon and we need a bass player for our little group. And I said, well, I don't know anything about playing instruments. I can barely sing. And so as we gathered on Sunday afternoons, we began to learn the bass and begin to play. And we formed a little group, a little kind of a bluegrass country western, sang some gospel music at that particular time as well. And I wasn't even a Christian at the time. I just kind of went along. And they began to pour into me and said, hey, Brian, why don't you come to church on Sunday night? And I'm like, you know, I'm just not much into the church thing. I that's just not for me. And so they kept really nagging at me for 2-3 weeks. And then one of them said, Brian, why don't you come? Because there's some girls down there. And you know what? As a young man, 18 years old, I'm like, you know, I'm not going to turn that down. I was single at the time, and I was kind of scared of girls anyway. But so we went. And I got to hear the preacher was preaching. Of course, we all sat in the back row and passed notes and talked and kind of played around. But also I was listening at the same time. And I began to hear about Jesus. And I began to hear about how He died for me and His love for me. And I began to see other people within the service that really loved to sing. And they would raise their hand and they would say amen. And they would say praise Jesus. And I remember one little lady waving a hanky while the singing was going on. And I remember services that the preacher didn't even get to preach because the Spirit of the Lord just began to speak to people's heart. And they would come and they would pray and kneel at the altar. And I've seen a lot of people get saved. And God moved in a special way. And I got under conviction. So to make a long story short, I ended up getting saved. I found the Lord instead of a girl. But it was a great time. But I remember those times when people begin to pour into me. I remember Lonnie and Teresa Lowry saying, hey, let's form a small group at our house. And they opened their house up. We went every week and began to teach the Bible. And then I began to learn what Sunday school was all about. And I thought, wow, this is something. So you guys meet before church? It doesn't really make sense. I was new at all of this, and I began to understand the importance of studying the Bible. I was just a new convert in Christ. I was a new believer. And I began to see the importance of what it was for gathering together and for studying the Bible and learning. And then it wasn't long, the Stimpsons down at the First Baptist Church in Cassville, I knew them a little bit. And they said, hey, Brian, why don't you come on our Wednesday night study down here at the church? We're having a 13-week Bible study course of experiencing God. And some of you remember that years ago. That was a very popular thing. So I said, you know what? That's fine. Joe Hoover was teaching it. And so I went down there for 13 weeks. I began to learn, begin to grow. And I began to teach a Sunday school class. The Lord called me to do that and to help. And I had such a desire to tell people about Jesus. And then it wasn't very long. I felt this nudge in my heart. Brian, I want you to stand up and just tell people what Jesus has done in your life. I want you to take the opportunity. And I was like, you know what? I wasn't raised in church. I'm certainly not educated that much in the Bible. And the Lord just began to tell me, you know what, Brian? All you got to do is just proclaim me. Tell your testimony. And I did. And it was a wonderful feeling. And then before it was long, I felt God nudging me to answer my call to preach. And so that's where we are today. It's been since 1999. The Lord has called us to take the opportunity to help people keep on keeping on and find Jesus. God's blessed me with a beautiful wife, Candace, of 18 years. I've got three children, and we've been in the ministry off and on, here and there in different places. So the reason I tell you all this is because I thought about all those people who poured into me, who encouraged me, who got behind me and said, hey, Brian, I want you to look at this scripture. I want you to come to our house. I want you to come to Sunday school and learn. I want you to play this instrument. Can you get up and sing? And I begin to think of all those people who poured into me. They encouraged me. And what I want you all to understand this morning is we've got an opportunity to encourage one another. In fact, it's scriptural. In fact, it's what the Lord would want us to do. You know, after receiving Christ at the age of 18, those people didn't really have to invest in me. They didn't have to take time after church and talk to me and encourage me and love on me. But you know, if they didn't, I don't think I would be where I am today if it wasn't for those that poured out the love of Jesus on me. I want to encourage you all today to keep on keeping on. I want to help you to stay motivated and inspired. In fact, that brings me to my first scripture this morning in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I want to read verses 57 and 58. I want you to see here in this scripture of what it tells me and you. He says this, "But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." And then in the next verse, verse 58, he says this, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." I'm thankful today that I've got victory, and it's not just a victory, but it's a plural. I have the victory through the Lord Jesus Christ. And we've got that opportunity today, and that is something to be excited about, is we have victory. It doesn't matter what we are going through in this life, folks. We have victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And then he commands us and encourages us. He says, brethren, he says, I want you to be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain. Now that's some good scriptures, and there's some good news to that, because there's no bigger motivator than God Himself. Let Him be the one to inspire you. Some of you are here this morning. I don't know what you're going through. I mean, it's been a crazy year. Maybe some of you is discouraged. I want you to be encouraged. I want you to be motivated and inspired. And sometimes when we can't find that outside these walls, we can certainly find it within the Word of God. We can find it in having that fellowship within Him and that relationship. So I want to encourage you. Let God be your motivator this morning. I want you to be steadfast and unmovable. Yes, we don't know what will take place tomorrow, but I will tell you this. God's got it all under control. We just have to trust Him. We just have to trust Him. So today you're saying, okay, Brother Brian, I understand that. I see that. What I want today is for us to learn together on how to stay motivated. That's my next point. I want us to learn together. I want you to understand we can be motivated and we can be inspired by looking to the Scriptures and then also learning about an animal of God's creation, the geese. or the goose. And it's a real interesting subject, to be honest with you, because this time of year, we see a lot of geese migrating. And I've always kind of been an outdoor person. In fact, where I live at, there's a large 20-acre lake not too far behind my house, and there's geese all the time. And you say, well, Brother Brian, how do you know? I hear them. Has any of you ever heard geese? I mean, they make that noise. They go, boy, they flap their wings, and you hear them before you see them. And I've always been excited to watch them. I mean, it's almost like an airplane. You hear the airplane before you see it. And so I thought, you know, there's something about these that we can really dig up and give you all an illustration. I love illustrations because they help me understand. You know, just like bees, many of you know how bees, how they work together and construct hives, and how ants collect little specks of dirt and they form together a living structure. And it's interesting, as I've been studying and looking at all this, to see that geese instinctively work together and interact with each other for the good of the flock. And I thought, you know what, Lord, that's just the way we are today as the body, as the church today. It's interesting when we can work together and fly together, and we are all migrating as Christians, folks. We are migrating to heaven. So why not stay with the group and not fall away? I'd got to doing some digging. I looked up and Googled the words of a wildlife biologist learning about geese, and I learned some pretty interesting things. They say that Canadian geese live to be around 10 to 25 years on average in the wild. They can live that long. Their average speed is 40 miles an hour when migrating. Now, you look up in the sky and it looks like they're barely moving. It's just like an airplane. You look up and you see that airplane, it looks like it's barely moving, but it's not. The average speed is 40 miles an hour, and they can increase up to 70 miles an hour depending on if they catch a good strong tailwind. I thought that was interesting. And migration can be as long as 2 to 3,000 miles, and geese are capable, if the weather's good and if their strength is good, they can fly 1,500 miles in a single day. Well, I thought that was interesting. So I begin to mull this over in my mind, and I begin to kind of write some things out, and I learned that there are 5 facts about geese, and I want to share them with you today. You say, well, Brother Brian, I come here to hear about Jesus. Well, you're going to hear about Jesus, but you're also going to hear about geese, because I think it's important. So fact number one is, as each bird flaps its wings, it creates uplift for the birds following. By flying in a V formation, the whole flock adds 71% greater flying range than if one bird flew alone. So geese, they've discovered that if they fly together, they can reach their destination a lot quicker and expend less energy when they fly together in a V formation. Now, I thought, man, that is great. I've always noticed them flying in this formation, but I didn't understand all the reasons of it. And that can also be said about us today when we work together. Things can really harmlessly work together for the benefit, and also if we work together as the church for the purpose of glorifying the Lord Jesus Christ, things can really be good for Jesus. You see, when we understand that we are migrating together, when we keep our eyes on the prize, when we understand that it's all about Him and not about me, we begin to see that, man, there's unity. We can work together. And I thought, you know, when we have common goals and when we have a sense of community, we can really get where we're going a lot quicker and easier if we stay in the Word, if we stay working together and encouraging one another, just like the geese do. My scripture that I want to share with you concerning this fact number one is found in Proverbs chapter 3. My favorite portions of scriptures, verses 5 and 6. Many of you probably know it by heart, but it says this is to trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths. Isn't that good? What is He telling us here today? We're migrating, folks, and we're flying for Jesus. We need to be trusting in the Lord with all of our heart. We need to be trusting in Him. And what that means is it's the opposite of doubting. When you trust, it's the opposite of doubt. And it's a fundamental truth of having a relationship with God is when we base it upon trustworthiness. When we base it upon as children of God, we are assured that yes, the Heavenly Father loves us, but also at the same time, we know that He's going to guide us. We know that He's going to give us grace. He's going to keep us in the promises. And in the difficult times in life, when we commit our way to the Lord, He will not leave us. Bible says He'll never leave us nor forsake us. So why can't we trust in Him? Why can't we work together? Why can't we understand we have a common goal, and that is to glorify and honor the Lord, right? So let's learn from the geese a little bit. Let's understand it's not about our own understanding. Our own understanding, folks, is very limited. It's fallible. It's subject to error. That's why He tells us not to lean on our own understanding. All the decisions and goals in our own lives, we need to put it in the hands of the Lord and acknowledge Him and let Him lead our life every single day. The church today, we put our trust and our hope in Him. It's not about the name of the door, but it's about Him that's in our hearts today. That's why we are here today, is together in the name of Jesus. So you'll notice that there was another fact about geese that I want to share with you. And fact number two is whenever a goose falls out of formation, it suddenly feels the drag and resistance of trying to fly alone and quickly gets back into formation to take advantage of the lifting power of the bird immediately in the front. So, when a goose falls out of that V formation, what happens? All of a sudden, he quickly discovers, man, it takes a lot more energy and a lot more effort to fly. You know, and the thing is as we are serving together and doing what we need to be doing for the Lord, there's times that we think that we know what's best and we begin to get out of the formation. We begin to not migrate as the Lord would have us to migrate. And all of a sudden we begin to see people sometimes dropping out. People leaving the church. They maybe leave the scriptures. They leave the truth. And they seek the ways of the world. And all of a sudden, when they begin to do that, they begin to hint that there's something's missing. That longing that they once had of community and fellowship and learning of the truth and the scriptures, all of a sudden they begin to find that they need that encouragement. They need that fellowship. They need that truth of something that's more bigger and more filling. You see, when people leave Christ or walk away, I guess, so to speak, they begin to, there's something missing there. That fellowship is missing. And they begin to want it back. And then all of a sudden we begin to see them come back just as the prodigal son would be coming back home. It reminds me of the other scripture I want to share with you is in Deuteronomy. Chapter 31 verse 6 tells me and you this. Be strong and of good courage. Do not fear nor be afraid of them. For the Lord your God, He is the one who goes with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. He says, do not fear, for the Lord your God is with you. He's not going to leave you nor forsake you. In fact, that kind of reminds me of a story. that I heard a long time ago, thought I would share with you. You know, as we all get older, how we like to just go out driving around. Some of you, you know what I'm talking about. You get at that age where you have lots of time and you maybe can't do much more, but you like driving around. I'm kind of one of those people, but I'm a product of the 70s. But I still like to get out and just drive around when I have time. It reminds me of a story. There was an older lady and an old gentleman that used to just drive around. They were in their 80s. And they would just drive and look at the countryside and look around. And the lady spoke up and she said, "Hon, you remember in our younger days when we used to sit by one another and we used to drive the country roads?" And he said, "Yeah, I sure do remember that." And she said, "How come we don't do that anymore?" And he looked at her and he said, "Well, hon, I'm not the one that's moved. It's you. I've been sitting here all these years. I don't know why, but you're the one that moved." Don't you like those moments? Now, a lot of these vehicles now, you can't do that because they have that divider right between them. But sometimes Candace and I will get in the Ranger when we check the cows, and I'll be driving. She has a choice whether she wants to sit by the door or sit by me. And she likes to sit by me. She says I make her feel strong. I don't know. But anyway, I thought I want to share that with you because you know what? That's what the Lord is saying to me and you. He's been right here and He wants to be in the driver's seat. He wants us to be right next with Him. He wants us to have that relationship. He doesn't want us to move away. Folks, we got to understand it's me and you are the ones that at times step away. Or we begin to maybe lean a little bit further over. And God says, "I don't want you to do that." You see, I want to encourage you here today. You say, "Well, Brother Brian, I need motivated and I need inspired. What you need to do is you need to get next to Jesus. You need to be next to Him and trust in Him. God will motivate you and He will inspire you. And so it moves to the next point is fact number 3. When the lead goose gets tired, it rotates back into formation and another goose flies at the point position. That goose that is in the very front, that's flying and making up that formation, expends a lot of energy because they are the ones who has to break up the airflow, so to speak, right? Just like driving down the highway, the bigger vehicle that you've got, the more air that it hits. Back in my younger days when I wasn't very smart and traveling out west on vacation and just kind of carrying on as someone that didn't have much sense, I always heard that the closer that you follow a semi, the less gas you use. And I didn't really understand all of that, but I thought, I'm going to try it. So as we were going out across Kansas, I got behind this semi. And of course, as young guys, back in the days, you had CBs in your cars. You know, that was a cool thing to do. And like, "Hey, this is Poncho here. I'm going to get up on your backside here and just hang out." Because I don't want that guy in the semi thinking I'm going to try to run him off the road. So I got right up there. And I mean, you're right behind him. And it's almost like that wind comes around the back of your vehicle and pulls you. I mean, I got good fuel mileage, but I didn't like it because you couldn't see in front of you. And then later on, when I got a little smarter, I realized that wasn't a smart thing to do. But then I thought, you know, that's exactly the way it is with this lead goose. The one that's out in front is breaking the airflow. It's providing that additional lift for the other geese to follow. And consequently, when that lead goose gets tired, it drops out of formation, moves to the back, and another one steps forward. And you're saying, "Okay, what kind of illustration, Brian, are you going to try to tell me from this?" What I'm here to tell you, folks, is those that are in leadership, especially 2020, it can be really tough. It can be very tiring. Even the role of a pastor can sometimes be daunting because it seems like there's so much that is against the things of the church and so much of against God Himself. And I want to encourage you here today is sometimes it's good to share the responsibilities to avoid burnout. Sometimes it's good, those that are either leading a class or doing this or doing that. A church that is well functioning, everybody understands that they are part of the body, and so everybody in that proportion can give. Whether it be a gift or a talent or knowledge or experience, folks, it's time to spread our wings and let that one in the front fall out of formation and you take the lead for a little while. Maybe it's time for us today, as we are migrating, to get behind our leaders, to get behind our pastors and encourage them on. Because it's not easy. It reminds me of the scripture in 1 Peter chapter 2. The next scripture I want to read is to understand that we are a chosen people. You are a royal priest, a holy nation, God's very own possession. As a result, you can show others the goodness of God, for He called you out of the darkness into His marvelous light. Thank you, Jesus. He tells us here in Scriptures that we are important. He tells us here in Scriptures that we are as royal priests, a holy nation, God's very own possession. And we have the responsibility to show the goodness of God to others. We have the opportunity to sow and to pour out ourselves into those that might be on the verge of burnout. We have an opportunity to wrap our arms around someone and encourage them. And say, keep on keeping on. I appreciate what you're doing. I want to help you. Is there anything I can do? Can I pray for you? I want to encourage you. Can I give you a gift card? Can I do this? Can I do that to show my appreciation? That's what the Lord would want us to do as we are moving forward. He wants us to understand that it's time to spread our wings and help each other out. The next fact that I've found as I was studying about geese, he tells us also in Philippians 4:13, back on fact 3, he says, you can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. We're not alone. We're in this thing together and we need each other. We got to understand that. We need each other. And then fact number 4 here that I want to talk with you a little bit about is the geese in formation honk from behind to encourage those up front to keep up their speed. You're saying honk? What do you mean honk? Have you heard geese? I just did an example here a minute ago of a honking. That's what they're doing when they're flying. They are honking each other. Keep on keeping on. How many of you honk at each other? Now, I know what you're saying. You're saying, Brother Brian, when I think of honk, I'm thinking of I'm mad, I'm disgusted with someone, they pulled out in front of me, I'm going to honk my horn at them and just tell them how upset I am. That's not what I'm talking about this morning. I'm talking about just the opposite. I'm talking about honking to encourage one another. You see, that's exactly just like these geese. We need to understand, folks, that we have this awesome opportunity to edify one another, to encourage one another, and we got to be communicating regularly with the other members of the body of Christ to encourage them, to help them. We got to make sure that our honking is encouraging and not discouraging. Oh, I can't believe you went past that time. I can't believe you did this. I can't believe. I tell you what. And all of a sudden we grumble and we complain and gossip gets involved. And all of a sudden we begin to tear down the creation that God has put together by our own words. We need to be the things that God would want to use us for. We can't be in the way of what God is wanting us to do. Romans chapter 14, verse 19 goes right along with this fact here, fact number 4. It says, so then, let us aim for harmony in the church and try to build each other up. That's in the Bible? Yes. We have a responsibility to honk others on. I'll tell you a little story real quick, and I thought it was kind of, because every time I hear a car horn, I'm thinking, somebody's upset with me. Now, I'm one of those type of people, and you may think I'm very ornery, and I am. I am kind of ornery. I like to have a good time, but I've been sitting in the Walmart parking lot a lot of times over the last several years because I just don't want to go in. The wife will go in, and I'll be sitting in one row, and then the next row over, I see somebody get in their car and they start to back up. Honk, honk. Boy, they stop the brakes. Boy, I laugh and carry on. And then all of a sudden they'll back up again. And I lay on the horn and they don't even know I'm over in the other aisle doing it. They think they're backing into somebody. Now, I know that's mean. God forgive me if that's wrong. But I like to have a good time. And so I associate honking, just like everybody else does, with something that's going on wrong. So I was preaching down at Gunner Church. This has been several months ago whenever we weren't allowed together. And so they had outdoor services. You stand out on the porch and the front steps. Everybody sets in their vehicles and they turn a radio station thing on and then it broadcasts through their car radios. And so I was preaching and carrying on and people were honking. And I'm thinking, I just don't understand. What am I doing something bad? Am I not coming through the mic? Well, what they were doing is they were amening me. They were honking their horn. And I noticed when I said a good point, they were all honking. I'm thinking, okay, maybe I can kind of get used to this. You see, it's okay to encourage one another. How many of you are honking each other on to be encouraging? How many of you say amen when the preaching gets really good? Now, there's a gentleman on TV, and I hear him from time to time, David Jeremiah, and I think he's a good teacher. But his congregation, instead of saying amen, they clap. Now, that's a little hard to get used to. But he told one time on the radio, he says, you know what? He says, what they're doing, they're not clapping or amening for me. They're clapping for the Lord. And they're amening to the Lord. So it's okay if you all want to honk. When Jason is preaching, say amen. Amen. Just let him know that it's out of love that you're doing it. So, fact number five. Let's move on to the next one here before we finish up. When a goose gets sick or wounded or shot down, two geese drop out of formation and follow it down to help and to protect it. They stay with it until it is able to fly again or dies. Then they launch out on their own with another formation or they catch up with their flock. You know, I was reading that on Google and I thought, that speaks so much for us as a church today because like geese, we need to stand by each other in the difficult times. I not seen the difficulty like I have this year and a lot of people, it's been tough. People have lost loved ones. They've lost jobs. It's easy to get discouraged. It's, man, just the election and things closed. I mean, it's just, and there's so many reasons why we can really be discouraged. But even the difficult times when individuals are struggling, we need to come together like the geese do. And we need to assist one another. It's imperative that we as a church help those that are struggling, reach out and assist and genuinely care for what their situations are. We don't know what they're going through. But I'm reminded of the scripture in Galatians chapter 6, verse 2, which is the next one up on the board, is that we've got an obligation to bear one another's burdens and to so fulfill the law of Christ. We have an opportunity today, like no other opportunity, to try to encourage people. Even those that are the very encouraging kind need encouraged from others. speaking for myself, I know what it's like to serve. And sometimes it can be very discouraging, but then there's also those times that's very rewarding when you know that when you're sowing those seeds, that somebody was listening. I want to encourage you today to be encouraged, to be motivated, to keep on keeping on, just like those geese do. You see, we live in a world today that enjoys tearing people down. Honk, honk. Amen. Okay. I want to make sure everybody's on the same page here. And this behavior, folks, you see it on social media, you see it on the TV, you see it in schools, you see it in the workplace. And sadly, it can even be found, guess where? In the house of God. Basically, what it's like, it's constantly a display of putting people down instead of building them up. Now, I know I have flaws, and I sure don't need help with people pointing out my flaws. What I really need help is people praying for me and encourage me and say, "Hey, Brian, I noticed this is really great what you're doing. Keep on keeping on." And then when people come and encourage you, then all of a sudden you begin like, "You really don't know me." And then all of a sudden it opens a conversation up and they begin to share with you some of their struggles. And then you can say, as the one that is doing the encouraging, "How about we just pray together? How about I pray with you? How about I help you through this struggle that you're going through?" Instead of tearing, we can lift up. You see, sometimes just the misuse of words and actions can bring destruction spiritually, emotionally, and physically. If you are or was raised in a home where this constantly went on, the belittling, the tearing down, it has a really tough aspect in your life. You see, the book of James tells us, I don't have this in the notes up above, but I just want to share with you, James chapter 3, I love this chapter because it's speech class. It's God's university of speech class. He tells us, "Even so the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth." What James here is emphasizing here, he's talking about how we can be inclined to sin in our speaking. Whether it can be exaggerations, it can be harsh speech, it can be unkind words, it can be lying, teaching false doctrine, slander, gossiping. There's so many things here that James chapter 3 discusses. And I would encourage you, if you have time sometimes, to read that, because it's like, oh, maybe that's why the scripture tells me in the book of James that I need to be swift to hear and slow to speak. Maybe that's why he's given me two ears and one mouth. You see, God wants us to understand that we have to lift people up. And we who are followers of Christ should be very careful that we don't let some of those things carry forth and ruin our witness. Which brings me to the next point. You see, the church is built on the foundation of Christ's love and continues to grow as we build up or edify other people with our words and actions. Now, our number one motivator is God, our Savior, Jesus. Boy, he's a motivator like no other. But I tell you what, we know he's on our side already. And if we can get some other migrating Christians to get behind us and encourage us and help us, it makes it a lot more easier to serve. It makes it a lot more easier to worship when there's unity, when there's harmony, when there's a sense of unifying, when there's a shared vision. You see, there's some principles I want to share with you just real quick in ending. Some principles based on this lesson learned from geese is, number one, something that I've learned in studying this and something I hope that you all have learned as a church. And even if you have a business or operator business or is in some kind of leadership, some of these same concepts, these facts, you can almost bring in the mix of that as well. Is number one is create a shared vision, a common direction, and unified objectives. Number two, we've learned to build a sense of community. Number three, share roles and responsibilities by empowering others to take responsibilities. And you're so, okay, let's stop right there, because some of you might be scared by that. You might be thinking, well, does that mean I'm supposed to get up and do something? Yeah, it's good to do that. It's good to spread your wings. Number four, reach out and assist a fellow brother or sister who may be struggling. Number five, promote an atmosphere of unity and harmony. And number six is the best, is encourage and honk each other on for Jesus. Honk each other on. Keep on keeping on. Encourage one another. Motivate others. Pour your life into the lives of others, just as the Lord Jesus Christ has poured His life and love into us. We've got that same opportunity to do that today. Let's all take a moment to stand, if you would. Brother Ben, if you'd come with a song. I want to extend an invitation here for just a minute. I don't know what you're going through or what you're dealing with, but I will tell you this. If you are here this morning and you are struggling, you are discouraged, and you need prayer, boy, this is the perfect place to come. Our brother's going to lead us in a song here. It's a time that you can come and seek the Lord. God can minister to your need. I can pray with you. I can encourage you. But don't walk out of this place discouraged and defeated. We have every reason in the world today to be encouraged because of what Jesus has done. He's given us victory. Put your life in His hands today. Brother Ben.
So teach my soul to rise to you.
Amen.
When temptation comes my way, and when I cannot stand or fall on you, Jesus, you're my hope and stay. And when I cannot stand or fall on you, for Jesus, you're my hope and stay. Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. And every hour I need you. My one defense, my righteousness. Oh God, how I need you.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, God, as we come together, God, we're reminded, God, of your great love and your great mercy that you have extended to us. Lord, I just pray that as we prepare to leave this place, that we would take what we've learned, God, about your word, about the creation, about an animal, God, that you have created, the geese. And God, let that be a motivating point for us to keep on keeping on for you. No matter what storms we face, no matter what difficulties we go through in life, we can put our trust in you. Proverbs chapter 3, Lord. God, may we trust in you with all of our heart. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Brother Ben.
I'd like to thank you guys for being here today. So you're dismissed. See you guys next week, Wednesday. Check the angel tree.